Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Delighted to be in studio today as we talk about something that we're celebrating. Because today, we celebrate President's Day. Our celebration, of course, is centered around George Washington. Why George Washington? Well, he was the first president of the United States of America. Today's celebration is something that we have celebrated for many, many years. It was established as a national holiday way back in 1885. So I suppose the question that I ought to address today is, why are we celebrating President's Day? Why are we doing this 137 years after its first establishment? Why do it almost 300 years after Washington's birth, February 22, 1732? Well, there are some obvious reasons we're doing this. George Washington was our very first president. George Washington, well, he served as commander-in-chief of colonial armies during the American Revolution. And when I think of George Washington, I think of the fact that he set the standard for all presidents that would follow in his train. George Washington was a man of great personal integrity, and he famously and wisely established the maxim that liberty is greater than any single individual. He also prudently established a two-term limit for U.S. presidents. And this is my favorite part of the celebration. We're celebrating a man who was eminently quotable. There are so many quotes that come to mind. Perhaps some come to your mind even as I'm speaking. It was George Washington who said, "It is better to live alone than to live in bad company." Whenever that echo of George Washington reaches my ears, I immediately recognize that this was a president that knew the Bible. Because to say it is better to live alone than in bad company is an echo of what St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know, the famed passage on the resurrection. In that passage, St. Paul says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." Proverbs says much the same as well. Solomon in the book of Proverbs says, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." And then there's King David, the quintessential king of Israel, who said, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, a tree which yields fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. So again, you hear a quote by George Washington, and immediately the echo of God's infallible word. Another quote that's always captured my attention is George Washington saying, "Be courteous to all, but imitate and be intimate with few. And let those few be well tried before you give them your confidence." That's a quote that has an echo of the Septuagint. So seems as though George Washington was familiar with the longer canon. Because in the longer canon, in the Wisdom of Sirach, we hear these words: "Let those who live at peace with you be many, but let your counselors be one in a thousand." If you gain a friend, gain him in testing, and don't be in a hurry to trust him. For there's a friend who is such to his own advantage, but he will not remain beside you in the day of your affliction. Once again, we have our first president echoing the words of sacred scripture. One more quote that I love from George Washington. It's a quote I love because whenever I think of my wife and her impact on our children, I'm reminded of George Washington saying, "All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute my success in life to the more intellectual and physical education that I received from my mother." And that, of course, is an echo of Solomon once again. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they're a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck." George Washington's mother, Mary Ball Washington, just like his wife Martha, was a strong and a very godly woman who enthusiastically taught her son George the precepts and principles of the biblical text. When George Washington took the oath of office as the first president of the United States back in April the 30th, 1789, it was the Bible that lay before him, and not just closed, but open to Genesis 49, the very chapter that chronicles Jacob's blessing of his 12 sons, sons who were destined to become a great nation through whom all the nations of the world would be blessed. Nations that walk in obedience to the precepts of God. I don't know if these words are from Washington or if they've been falsely attributed to him. It sounds like it could be Washington. The words, "It is not possible to rightly govern the world without God and without the Bible." I'll have more to say about President's Day when I come back from the break. In the meantime, I do want all of you to consider subscribing to the Christian Research Journal. Listen to Hank Unplugged on the web at equip.org or wherever you listen to your podcast, because Hank Unplugged is committed to bringing the most interesting, informative, inspirational people directly to your earbuds. And please stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. We have ramped up everything that we're doing at the Christian Research Institute because we live in perilous times. More about that when we come back from the break. So please don't touch that dial.
Although Howard Zinn died a decade ago, his books and radical activism continue to poison the soul of our country, ravaging the hearts and minds of American students. In fact, if your kids or grandkids or those of your neighbors believe that Columbus Day celebrates a genocidal maniac, they're under the spell of Howard Zinn. Lies advance when people are incapable of recognizing and defending truth. And with our schools becoming indoctrination centers for leftist ideologies, voices of truth must be clear and persuasive. In her thoroughly researched book, Debunking Howard Zinn, scholar Mary Graybar demolishes Zinn's Marxist talking points that dominate American education. To receive your copy of Debunking Howard Zinn, Exposing the Fake History That Turned a Generation Against America, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And today, of course, a special day as we remember and celebrate our presidents. Particularly, we celebrate George Washington, the first president of the United States, but also other presidents, great presidents who said fantastic things that had an impact on our nation so our nation could have an impact on the world. I think of Abraham Lincoln, who called all Americans to participate in a national day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer. Said Lincoln, "We've grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we had become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that made us." Spectacular words from Abraham Lincoln. And as I said before the break, words attributed to Washington, whether rightly or not, I cannot say with certainty, but the words are poignant and profound. It is not possible to rightly govern the world without God and without the Bible. Now, why is that? Well, Noah Webster, who is often referred to as the father of American scholarship and education, once said that the Bible is the chief moral cause of everything that is good, that the Bible is the best corrective of all that is evil, that it is the best book for regulating the temporal concerns of humanity, and that it is the only book that can serve us as an infallible guide, a guide to the principles of genuine liberty, a guide to wise laws and wise administrations, a guide drawn from the inspiration of God, which has given the Bible its sustained authority. The man, therefore, who weakens or destroys the divine authority of the Bible may be an accessory to all the public disorders which society is doomed to suffer. These words, words that we ought to stop and ponder, were echoed by an American statesman who represented New Hampshire and Massachusetts in the U.S. Congress and also served honorably as U.S. Secretary of State. Of course, I'm talking about Daniel Webster, who said, "If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, well, if we do that, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we and our posterity neglect its instructions and its authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and then bury all our glory in profound obscurity." And that we often think is impossible, but it's not impossible. Not impossible because all civilization is essentially fragile. Think about it. The Greek city-states no longer exist. They've not vanished, but they have been absorbed. The city-state of Athens has disappeared. Other cities have been sacked and destroyed, their people decimated or else dispersed. All civilizations, whatever their momentary grandeur, have, well, the flimsiness of newspaper. If you view Washington from Capitol Hill, if you view the self-proclaimed center of the world from that perspective, there's a feeling of transcendent permanence, a preeminence that is unrivaled by the greatest of all civilizations. But view Rome. Go to Palatine Hill. I've done it. And a brand new reality sets in. Because lying before your eyes in what was once dubbed the Eternal City are the vestiges of long-gone kings, the bleached bones of a civilization that strode upon the stage of human civilization like, well, like a colossus. What a fragile thing civilization is, and how near we are to losing it. We do well to have the words of President Theodore Roosevelt, who was, I believe, the 26th president of the United States of America, etched in our memory. He said that every thinking man, at least when he thinks, realizes that the teachings of the Bible are so interwoven with our whole civic and social life that it would be literally impossible for us to figure what life would be if those teachings were removed. We'd lose almost all the standards by which we now judge both public and private morals, all the standards to which we, with more or less resolution, strive to raise ourselves. You know, even as I think about those words from Theodore Roosevelt, I can still remember the feeling of disbelief I experienced during the Obama-Biden administration. Feelings as I tried to absorb the intent of the historic call to renewal address, particularly as President Barack Obama posed the following series of very troubling questions. He asked which passages of Scripture should guide our public policy. Should we go with Leviticus, which suggests slavery is okay, and that eating shellfish is an abomination? How about Deuteronomy, he said, which suggests stoning your child if he strays from the faith? Or should we just stick to the Sermon on the Mount, a passage, he said, that is so radical that it's doubtful that our own Defense Department could survive its application? The implication of President Obama's questions, very hard to mistake. He was saying that the Bible cannot possibly be divine, that no God worthy of worship would teach that slavery is okay. He was asking what parent in his right mind would stone a child who strays away from the faith, and of course pointing out that the Bible was rather idiotic in calling consumption of shellfish an abomination. In fact, he was calling it plain silly. And of course, saying that the Sermon on the Mount was way too radical. To base our policy making on such commitments would be, he said, a dangerous thing. Or perhaps the real danger is a failure to apprehend the biblical message. A danger which has led to untold pain and tragedy. This danger is the danger of not knowing how to read the Bible in the sense in which it is intended. George Washington knew how to do it. Later presidents oftentimes did not. And this, in essence, is our call as a ministry: to teach the world how to read the Bible in the way it is meant to be read, to teach people the art and science of biblical interpretation. I've written about that in a book titled Has God Spoken? That book, available this President's Day, for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.